This message was recorded during the coronavirus lockdown in 2020 by Audacious Church Senior Pastor Glenn Barrett. Thank you for listening to this Audacious Church podcast.
Hey, Audacious Church, welcome to part two in our Bible series. One of the reasons why I felt it would be great for us to do this Bible series together is to really equip you with confidence and also the skills for Bible reading in your own time. And last week we talked about why the Bible, why do we believe it's authoritative? Why do we believe it's authentic, the real Word of God? And we talked about the three tests involved in Scripture. And the first test is the bibliographic test. The second test is the internal test. And the third test is the external test. And those three tests alone give us great confidence in Scripture, the final authority in matters of faith. Today, I want to remind you on what the Bible achieves in our lives. We're going to talk about seven things that the Bible achieves. And then next week, we're going to talk to you about how to read the Bible. And our youth pastor, Karis, is going to come in as well. And she's going to talk you through a practical example on how you can read and understand the Bible. But today, we're going to talk about what the Bible does. I remember many years ago reading about the founder of the Vineyard movement of churches. His name was John Wimber. And John Wimber was one of the original the singers in the Righteous Brothers. Do you remember the song, "You've Lost That Love and Feeling"? That group there, the Righteous Brothers. And he had this radical conversion experience where he became a follower of Jesus. And he began to church for several weeks. And after about the fifth or sixth week or something, he went up to the pastor of the church and he said to the pastor of the church, "When do we get to the good stuff?" And the pastor said, "What do you mean the good stuff?" And John Wimber said, "You know, the healing of the sick and the miracles and the signs and wonders." And the pastor said, "Oh, we don't do that anymore." And John Wimber said, "We don't do that anymore. What do we do?" And the pastor says, "Well, we do what we've been doing for the last few weeks you've been coming to church." And John Wimber replied, "You mean I gave up drugs and drink for this?" And I think really what was happening in that moment for John Wimber was that he was really being taught inadvertently what I want to call the unreal Bible. In other words, he was being taught to read the Bible, but it was seen as something that was unreal to him. I guess in many senses, he was being taught a bad habit of Bible reading. The bad habit being that we read the Bible and don't expect the experiences of the book to be the experiences that we have in 2020. But church, I want to assure you that the Bible was written so that you too could have similar experiences in 2020. It's written to bring life change for you. But you know, this dilemma of the unreal Bible is actually not a new problem. We actually see it taking place in Scripture. In fact, James writes to address the problem of the unreal Bible. You know, the Bible where what you read about doesn't become your own experience. And we pick it up in James chapter 5, verse 14. And here's what he says. "Is any among you sick?" And I guess with the coronavirus situation, this is a pertinent passage. "Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and to anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven." And you can imagine in this moment, the skeptics saying, "Well, what do you know, James? You were the brother of Jesus. You were one of the apostles. You saw and you did amazing miracles, but we're just ordinary people. How can we see ordinary things take place? You're special, James. We're not." But James carries on in verse 16 of James chapter 5. He said this, "Therefore, we should confess our sins to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed." He goes on, "The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." He said Elijah was a human being just as we are. Let me read it again. Elijah, the great prophet, was a human being even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. What's fascinating about this passage in the Bible is that James uses a phenomenal man, Elijah, as an example that God wants to do extraordinary things in ordinary people's lives. That's why he says these words, Elijah was a man just like us. So I want you to know that the 7 things we're about to go through of what the Word of God wants to accomplish in your life in 2020 is just as real, just as powerful, just as prevalent now as ever. So here we go. 7 things that the Bible wants to achieve in your life today. And the first thing is this, is that the Word of God births. The Word of God starts something. We see it all the way back in the beginning of the Bible. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning, God. And then in verse 3, in verse 6, and in verse 9, it says, and God said, and God said. In other words, when God speaks, it births something into being. That's why it's so important for us to be hearing the Word of God. Why? Because God speaks. Listen, maybe right now for you, it feels like God is a distant God. It feels like God is 1,000,000 miles away when it comes to your family situation, your finances, your health, your workplace. Listen, let me ask you this question. When did you last hear God speak? Because the Word of God births. I've discovered that it often takes something in order to make us realize something else. What do I mean by that? If you've had a busy day and you, at the end of a busy day, go home and somebody maybe in your house is cooking food and you smell the food, all of a sudden you realize that you haven't eaten for ages. We have a moment here in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, where it says, the earth was formless and void. Now, the thing about void is this, is that void means nothing there. And the reality is this, is that voidness didn't wake up and say, ah, today I feel void. The reality is when there's a void in our lives, we don't realize there's a void until God speaks. When God speaks, something happens. You'll find that when God speaks to you, something will be birthed and you'll realize that something was missing in your life, which is why it's so important for us to know this truth that God's Word births something. So in this season of self-isolation, physical distancing from each other, not being able to be gathered, maybe not even being able to go into work, I want to encourage you, the Word of God today wants to birth something in your life. The second thing that the Word of God does is the Word of God will sustain us. And how important is that right now in this season to know that right where you are, the Word of God wants to sustain you. More than Netflix, more than Sky, the Word of God wants to sustain you. Jeremiah chapter 1 verses 11 to 12, the Word of the Lord came to me. What do you see, Jeremiah? I see the branch of an almond tree, I replied. The Lord said to me, you've seen correctly, for I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled. I'm watching to see that my word will be fulfilled. In other words, the Word of God sustains us. And so in the same way, petrol sustains a car from A to B and breakfast sustains you from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m., I want you to know, church, that God's Word will sustain you from birth all the way through to death. That's why we need the Word of God. When we read the Word of God, God says, hey, don't forget this. God is saying, I'm watching over my Word. God is saying, I'm sustaining you through this season. And I want you to know, friend, that when God's Word births, see point number one, when a promise has been given, His Word continues to sustain you next. So listen, even when this coronavirus, I want you to know that the promises God made to you before the virus came to Britain, God can still sustain those promises. He can still bring them to pass. That's why we need the Word of God. It sustains us. The third thing that the Word of God does is this, is that the Word of God will direct us. I think we need that right now more than ever. Psalm 119, verses 105 to 106, it says this, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." So this is David saying these words, King David. And the reality is that King David could follow God because God was illuminating the path ahead. I guess maybe you're like me in that sometimes I get frustrated with God too. There are many times when I want to see more than what I currently do. There are times when I want to see God illuminate much more. And sometimes I say, well, God, how come I can't see a long way off? And maybe even right now, you can't see your way through the end of this coronavirus. You don't know what work will be like. You don't know what the financial situation will be like. And I think that sometimes we get frustrated by that. But I want you to notice what the Word of God says, is that the Word of God is a lamp unto our feet. It's not a big light shining into the future. It simply illuminates our next step. Friend, I want to encourage you to allow the Word of God to direct you today, to allow the Word of God to direct you on Monday and through the week when you wake up. Spend some time just reading the Word of God. Once again, next week, we'll show you how to read the Word of God and how to understand it. But I want you to know that right now, the Word of God wants to direct you in this season. The fourth thing that the Word of God does is that the Word of God feeds us. It nourishes us. This is so important. Matthew 4:4, Jesus says this, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the Father." And I think that's a really brilliant, brilliant concept. And you know something is, in this world that we live in, we're living in a world of fast cars and fast food and fast work. Now, I know that this virus has slowed things down for many of us in lots of ways. Working from home certainly changes things. But one of the things I've discovered is this, is that because we live in a fast world, we can almost fall into the trap that God is a fast type of God. But don't forget, He's the Ancient of Days, which means that God, the Ancient of Days, doesn't work according to our time frame, but He works according to His time frame. And sometimes it can feel like He's not fast, He's slow. But it's really important to know that God's Word feeds us. Now listen, in a world of fast food, the reality is this, is fast food is okay for a season, but there's nothing like home cooking. There's just something about home cooking prepared by the people that you love that somehow has tastes and flavors that you'll never really get from a fast food establishment. And certainly the fast food establishment, it won't nourish you like home cooking does. Many of you who know my story, you know that my family background is Welsh. My Nana, when she lived with us in Australia, every Tuesday, I think it was, she would make Welsh cakes. And I used to love coming home from school to the smell of Welsh cakes. My Nana used to make them with jam through the middle. And she used to put them on these cooling trays and used to put tea towels over them, you know, so flies and different things wouldn't get on the food. And what I discovered I could do is she would make a batch of about, I don't know, 20 or 30. But I could slowly, as I'd go past the kitchen, I would put my hand under the tea towel, take a Welsh cake, and I discovered that I could probably get away with eating 5, 6, or even 7 as long as I adjusted the Welsh cakes so they still looked like a full complement for my Nana. Now listen, maybe she was clever enough to realize that I was slowly eating what she'd cooked. The point is this, there's nothing like home cooking. And I want you to know that the Word of God will feed you. Coming to church on a Sunday and getting online church like this is really, in some senses, the cherry on the cake. Really, church, I want to encourage you as followers of Jesus, it is your responsibility at home to spend your time reading the Word of God, to allow the Word of God to feed you. In other words, home cook the Word of God. One of the greatest things I ever hear on a Sunday when we gather is when people come up to me and say, you know, Pastor Glenn, God was speaking to me about the very thing you were preaching about today during the week. You know why I love that? It's because you've been home cooking. And all I had to do was bring the cherry on the cake. The fifth thing that the Word of God does is that the Word of God is a weapon. The Bible says in Hebrews, in Ephesians 6:12, that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual forces of evil. In Hebrews 4:12, it says the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. So Christian believer out there right now, make no mistake, you are in a war. The devil hates you. The devil wants to destroy your life. John chapter 10, verse 10 says this, the thief, that's the devil, comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus comes that you might have life and have life to the full. You're in a war. Therefore, you need a weapon. And I think it's so important that in warfare, soldiers know how to wield their weapon. You really need to know how to use your sword or your gun or whatever it may be when you're going into battle. Church, it's so important that you and I know how to read the Bible. We know how to use the Bible as a weapon. Stay tuned for next Sunday when we get to that. The devil says you're filthy, but you can know through Scripture that you stand clean. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. The devil says you've not changed, but you know through reading 2 Corinthians 5:17 that you are a new creation and every day you are continuing to be so. The devil says you still sin. You know through reading Romans 8:37 there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The devil says to you during this coronavirus, well, where is God? But you know through Romans 8:35 that nothing can separate us from the Word of God. It is so important for us to know how to use the Bible as a weapon. We'll get to that next week. The sixth thing that the Word of God does is this, is that the Word of God is a tool. It's not just a weapon, but it's also a tool. Jeremiah 23, 29, it says this, the Word of God is like a hammer that breaks the rock. And I want you to know, this is why the Bible is so important during this season that you find yourself at home, but also in every future season of your life as well. Because it says here, it's like a hammer that breaks the rock. Well, that's your church. I want you to know that this Word of God is a hammer that breaks depression. It breaks poverty thinking. It can break loneliness and isolation. It can break illness. The Word of God can break confusion over your life. It can break emptiness over your life. If truly we learned to love, to read, and apply the Word of God, it is a tool that breaks all these things over our life. The last thing that the Word of God does is that the Word of God compels us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16, Paul says this, the Apostle Paul, when I preach, I cannot boast, for I am compelled to preach the Word of God. He says, woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. The word compelled here means to have an irresistible urge. When did you last have an irresistible urge to eat some dairy milk or to eat a curry or something like that? I want you to know that the Word of God brings to you an irresistible urge to live your life full on, to do right. It gives you an irresistible urge to have fun and to live out the purposes of God. And I guess my question within this is this, is what is compelling you most in life? What is compelling you? Is it sin? Is it circumstance? Is it emotion? Or is it truly the Word of God? I love what Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 20, verse 9. He says, "But if I say I will not mention his word or speak any more in his name, his word is like a fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot." The word of God compels. Let me run through these seven things one more time. The word of God will birth something. And maybe right now you need God to do something new. You need him to bring to life something. You need a promise from God. Friend, I want to encourage you. All of his promises are in the word of God for you. Secondly, his word will sustain you. Right now, through the word of God, God will give you everything you need to sustain you through this season. Thirdly, the word of God directs. God wants to direct your paths each day through this season. Fourthly, the word of God wants to feed you. There's nothing like home cooking the word of God. Friend, I encourage you, please read the Bible. God wants to feed and nourish your soul. The fifth thing is this, is that the word of God is a weapon, so that when the enemy comes against you, you know how to use the weapon of the word of God. And the seventh thing is this, is the word of God will compel you. It will give you an irresistible urge to live for God and to live out the things of God. Audacious Church, the Bible truly is a remarkable book. And you will find that in this season, you will get everything you need for life and godliness. Next week, as we spend some time looking at how to read the Bible, my prayer is that next Sunday you'll come with a journal ready to go, ready to take notes, ready to learn. But listen, don't put off to next week what you can do today and tomorrow. Start at John chapter 1. Read a few verses every day. Let the word of God achieve these seven things in your life. And you know something? I believe that by the end of isolation, home isolation, physical separation, that every single one of us will come through this season stronger and closer to God. Why? It's because we allowed the Bible to be the word of God that brought change into our life in this season. Maybe right now you're watching this broadcast and you don't know Jesus. You don't have a relationship with God. I want you to know the greatest thing you can ever do is say yes to Jesus. I want to invite you in this moment to pray with me. I want to give you an opportunity for you to connect your life with the God of heaven and earth who has a plan and a purpose for you. If that's you right now, then why don't you join me in prayer? This prayer that I'm about to pray, you can agree with this prayer in your heart, or if you want, you can also pray it out loud with me. Say, "Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for this moment. I know I need you in my life, and I am sorry that I've lived my life without you. But right now, I choose to connect my life with you. Be my God, be my Lord. And even though I still have questions, I know that today I'm making the right choice by asking you into my life. Thank you for hearing this prayer. Thank you for being my God. In Jesus' name, amen." Amen.
You've been listening to the Audacious Church podcast. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com, or join one of our live stream services, 10 a.m., 12 p.m., and 5:30 p.m. every Sunday.